This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin-Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Julian Ng. It is 7:07 in the morning, Wednesday the 15th of January, and in about 15 minutes we'll be talking about golden shares and the Plus Highway takeover. But before that, let's take a look at the markets.
And U.S. stocks retreated from the all-time highs after Bloomberg reported that tariffs on billions of dollars of Chinese goods will likely stay in place until after the presidential elections. The Dow Jones rose about 0.11%, S&P fell 0.15%, and the Nasdaq Composite closed about a quarter of 1% lower.
And in Asia, shares mostly rose as the Chinese yuan jumped and safe harbor assets slipped on Tuesday. So amid signs of goodwill between China and US in their, of course, ongoing trade war, Japan's Nikkei 225 expanded 0.7%. Singapore's Straits Times rose 0.6%. South Korea's Kospi closed 0.4% higher. Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell about 0.2%, while the Shanghai Composite Index and our own FBM KLCI dropped about 0.3%.
So for more insight into global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Jeffrey. Now, US markets continue to climb to new highs in 2020. What will it take for markets to correct? Because even the increased geopolitical risks in the Middle East appear to be ignored by investors.
Yeah, good morning. That one's a little tough of a question. I think what a lot of this rally has been driven by is the fact that central banks have eased interest rates so much around the world that this ongoing search for any sort of yield means that even at these prices, a low yield on stock is still more appealing than fixed interest. And I think that will be a theme that we'll continue to see in quarter one of 2020. Main dangers to that are an escalation of the trade disputes again. If United States opens up a second trade front with Europe, for example, not beyond the realms of possibility, or a sharp slowdown in economic activity caused by an external event. But aside from any of these geopolitical risks, it's hard to see a bearish case being made for equities in Q1 anyway.
And meanwhile, the yuan has also breached 680 against the US dollar, which is a level not seen since July last year. And this is because the US has removed China from the list of currency manipulators. So where do you think this will go in terms of easing the trade tensions, but also, more importantly, how will this affect China's exports?
Well, certainly China mentioned yesterday that they felt that was the correct decision for the United States to have made. No surprises there, and the timing was set to throw a few olive branches out ahead of a trade deal that is supposed to be signed in Washington, D.C. today. We actually did see the yuan retreat overnight as the news came out from Bloomberg, in fact, that those tariffs would remain in place until around the presidential elections next year, this year, to ensure Chinese compliance with the trade agreement. So maybe right now we'll see that slowdown in Asian in the yuan appreciation ease. I think it won't affect Chinese exports too much though, because most of Asia's currencies have actually rallied quite strongly. If you look at the ringgit and the IDR, for example, both of those are sitting at 18-month highs against the dollar at the moment.
And meanwhile, gold has retreated from the $1,600 levels we saw immediately after the rise of the geopolitical risks in Middle East to what is probably 1,540 levels now. Do you expect it to retreat even more in the near term then?
Yeah, on the basis of the scenario I've outlined above, I would expect that gold will more than likely move back towards the 1,500 region, which is where it sort of, that was the approximate level it was before this US-Iran incident kicked off what seems like an age ago now, but was actually only about a week and a half ago. So that entire rally up to 1607 was driven by these geopolitical escalations. As long as equity markets hold up and that money is moving into Asia and into more risk-seeking assets, There's not a lot of reasons to own gold, and I think gold's hedge for now as a haven against geopolitical tensions has diminished. So I would expect to see more downward pressure on gold from here.
Now, Jeffrey, big tech and Tesla have been powering the equity rally over on Wall Street. How much more do you think these names can appreciate?
Another very good question there. I think Elon Musk would like it to appreciate more because he's in line for a $50 billion equity bonus, I believe, if we just get that price up a bit further. So he'll certainly be bullish on his outlook. This has been driven by the search for yield. I don't necessarily believe that the equity rally now has been driven by global fundamentals. I don't think we've seen a wholesale turnaround in economic activity across the world. So, but that search for yield goes on. We're in a 0% interest rate world. So I would expect that we will continue to see both big tech and Tesla, which has a good story with the opening of its Chinese factory at the moment as well, to continue making topside and disappointing those extensive bear positions on Tesla out there.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. And that was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda, talking to us about US markets and big tech over in Asia, as well as safe havens like gold. Now, taking a look at also some other international headlines. Now, a healthy US economy has pushed up profits at America's biggest banks, allowing them to grow even though falling interest rates made lending less profitable. So consumer borrowing and a rebound in investment banking revenues propelled JP Morgan and Citigroup to double-digit earnings growth in the final 3 months of 2019. JP Morgan, which is the biggest US bank by assets, reported its most profitable year on record.
Yes, and the other standout was Wells Fargo, which didn't do as well as the other banks. They reported a 50% drop in fourth quarter profit. This was after setting aside another $1.5 billion to cover costs about a 2016 fake account scandal. And the fourth quarter results still show that it has a lot of work to do to regain customers' trust as deposit costs rose, despite a drop in interest rates that allowed its rivals to pay less, indicating savers are inclined to keep their money elsewhere.
So not surprisingly, Citi and JP Morgan were both up on the back of this good set of results. So Citibank closed up 1.56% to $81.91 US dollars. And just to give you some color on how popular this stock is with analysts, there are 24 buys at this juncture, 4 holds and only 1 sell. Consensus target price is at $88. JP Morgan up 1.17% to $138, whilst Wells Fargo on the back of this pretty bad set of numbers was down 5.39% to $49.30.
Now, moving on as well to tariffs, because this is today is the signing day for the phase one of the US-China trade deal. And according to sources quoted by Bloomberg, existing tariffs on billions of dollars of goods, of Chinese goods coming into the US, are likely to stay in place until after the US presidential elections. And any move to reduce them will hinge on Beijing's compliance with the terms of the phase one trade deal. So the US will review progress and potentially consider any additional cuts on tariffs affecting $360 billion worth of imports from China. But the period of review, which isn't expected to be specified in the text, in the deal's text, is intended to give the Trump administration time to verify China's adherence to the terms of the pact.
And the timetable would also allow President Donald Trump to keep existing levies in place until after voters decided whether he would get a second term or not, and pushing off an issue that could prove objectionable to his supporters. And Trump has claimed that duties on China as one of his greatest economic achievements, labelling himself the tariff man.
Okay, new label added to that list. There's Twitter man, there's tariff man, and I think we can come up with some which we shouldn't say on air. But anyway,
Wall man.
Okay, and then in relation to this whole trade deal, of course, the US has reversed its decision to brand China a currency manipulator. Now, these two countries prepare to wind down their trade war. As we know, I think it's probably going to be signed later this evening. It's supposed to be today, US time. And the US has said that it's made the change because China has agreed to refrain from devaluing its currency to make its own goods cheaper for foreign buyers.
So Trump previously repeatedly accused China of allowing the value of the yuan to fall, making Chinese goods cheaper. But on Monday, the US said that the value of the yuan had appreciated since August at the height of the trade war. So US Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said that China had made enforceable commitments to refrain from devaluation and to share more information about its exchange rates. Now, we'll be watching this very closely as we head into the rest of the signing day. But right now, we are heading into a few messages instead. And then up next, we'll be discussing golden shares as well as the Plus Highway takeover. We do have a poll running. We're asking, should the government have less control over GLCs? Tell us what you think. We'll be taking a look at the results throughout the rest of the morning. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.